Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Down in the Hidden Valley?
Can you hear yourself?
Fucking right, bro.
Yeah? Is that a good...
Fucking sweet, broski.
Oh, please chew as much as you can into the mic. I did a podcast from Japan and must have gotten at least 5 tweets of people being like... Like, these are... They said that... You know, I love the backhanded compliment where what? They start off and they go, couldn't be a bigger fan of the pod... Been following you for years, yeah. But I gotta say, listening to you chew corn on the cob or whatever. And by the way, I was licking an ice cream cone. So first of all, if you're gonna accuse me of food chomping,
yeah,
get the treat right. And they were like, "This was the most abhorrent. This was the most BitTorrent fucking chomping sesh. I couldn't even listen, but I did anyway. But consider me unsubscribed if I have to subscribe to this bullshit ever again." Ooh. You know, so it started off positive and then with the body slam.
There's a huge difference between licking and chewing, bro.
Thank you.
Like, licking is almost silent.
Like, what you're doing,
especially
is
if you're a deer. Like, they lick real quiet.
They do. They're probably the quietest of the lickers.
They're the silent lickers of the lambs. But chewing is like, you know, Golden Corral style, bro.
How come there hasn't been a planet Earth on, like, the most softest lickers and chewers of the wilderness?
What's planet Earth, like that nature show?
You know, like when they're like,
oh, yeah.
Follow the land shark as it roams through the seabiss.
Yes.
Or the abyss, the seabiss.
The lion plucks the eye out of the baby zebra and goggles with it just to fuck with it before it dies. And then it drags it to Home Depot to the self-checkout line and uses it as a barcode and rubs it back and forth across the scanner while it slowly bleeds out with one eye. I lick it.
Even though he's in the 10 items or less line, he has 14. Does he care? Not this winter. Are you a fan of the animals, yeah?
Dude, I live for animals.
Yeah.
I think I'm one of these guys that likes animals more than people.
For real?
Oh, yeah.
Now, a specific group of animals?
All animals.
Yeah.
Because, you know, humans are the only, you know, we're the only things that decide the destiny of other animals in a cruel way. You know, animals take what they need. It's rare animals just kill for sport and fun.
Yep.
But humans just dominate, tread upon, destroy, you know, derail animals like insects, fish, birds, all of it, man.
Have you always been that way?
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah. What was your first pet? Do you remember that?
My first pet.
I think a lot of folks start off with goldfish just to kind of ease
you
into
the animal kingdom. I went straight to like a penthouse pet when I was 11 years old, Cherry. Cherry stayed in my bedroom. Yeah.
Did you have to
screw
feed her?
That?
Pick up after?
These other kids like, Mom, Dad, can I get a puppy, a kitty? I was like, bring me a penthouse pet, will you, Dad? Thanks.
Give me a bunny with both the ears up.
Yellow. No, my first pet was, well, I collected everything, man. I was one of those guys that went down in the ravine and caught, I'd come home with 8 snakes.
What?
And I'd take them to school. I'd be like the kid with the snakes. I took a snapping turtle to school.
That's cool.
I took like garter snakes.
Your teachers weren't shocked or...
No, they let me. They would set up little
habitats
tanks for it. Yeah. They'd make little like terrariums for my critters. It was awesome.
See, I only ever had the experience of the teacher. We had like a class pet at one point. It was like a bunny. Or it was Cherry, basically. Cherry would show up and we... No. It was a bunny or a chinchilla or a...
What are chinchillas? Are those like Mexican bunnies? Like, what is a chinchilla?
That's
you
a
hear
great question.
About it.
Yeah, it is. I only know because my senior of high school or of college roommate, Tori Rubin, we called him Trubin, he had 2 chinchillas. And he was always like, yeah, I hope you guys don't mind my chinchillas.
He's like, one is named Boomer, one is named Mama. And then one day we came home and he was like, so Boomer ate all my weed and Mama ate Boomer.
Jesus. It's a tough life being a chin.
Well, they're weird because you hear about them, but I've never I've never seen one on one of our Planet Earth nature shows. You never see the chinchilla creeps through the tinder grass and looks for the
watch
baby
it eat the stoner's weed.
Yeah.
And then its friend.
The chinchilla hunts for a drug pusher in the streets of Guatemala, rips its eye out, and sucks its bone marrow out of its fat fucking teeth.
Before applying for a job at TCBY. Not this year, says the old man with the hat.
Wait, TCBY, is that that thank God it's not yogurt? What is that?
TCBY was almost like pre-Pinkberry. TCBY was the first frozen yogurt, like, at least.
Okay,
they were almost competitors of Baskin-Robbins, but they weren't because they were frozen yogurt.
Well,
Baskin-Robbins is like, we're doing straight-up ice cream because we're fucking gangsters.
Whoa. But what's TGIF then?
Thank God it's Friday. And that was the Family Matters step-by-step Full House.
And what was the one you said?
TCBY.
And TGIF.
You combine them, thank God it's frozen yogurt.
Okay, yeah. And now I want to throw in a pancake. So TGY, IHOP, GY, KFC, FU. All right, how about that? Now I'm completely dyslexic. Dyslexic. By the way, isn't it odd that dyslexic, okay, people who are dyslexic, they have trouble spelling.
Yeah.
The word dyslexic is almost impossible to spell. Do you know how to spell it?
Give me three chances minimum
to
figure it out.
Okay, go. Dyslexic. Spell it.
P?
Fuck. That's psoriasis. Oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah, the S is silent.
No, seriously, let's try and spell it.
Great.
D?
I know it's Y.
Is it Y?
S? No, wait.
There's an L.
Dyslexic. I'm going to... D-Y-S.
D-Y-S.
We try, yeah.
Lex. Is it
L-E-X, right? I only know one other Lex, and that was Luther, and he went L-E-X.
Yeah.
Dyslex. I see. I'm thinking it's that easy.
Dyslex. But see, we shouldn't be thinking about it.
No.
And why would you torture people who have trouble spelling?
Give the name of their condition.
Yeah.
At least make that easy to spell.
Yeah, why don't we just call it fucked up, you know? Like F-U-C-K-E-D-U-P, okay? Instead of some alien language from planet Trinitron, you know.
It just queefed. That means hello.
Oh, my God. God, look it up now. I want to know how you spell it, because I don't think we got it, man. It's very cruel. It's downright cruel.
You're pretty sharp with the words in your
sure I am
in your act and your conversing. Were you always like having a strong wordsmith. Vocab?
Yeah, I'm a wordsmith.
Yeah,
yeah, really good.
Wow, dude, bingo, we got it. D-Y-S. I'm reading it, and
You can't do it. See, that's just cruel, man.
You want to hear what it says too when you Google?
No, spell it first.
D-Y-S-L-E-X-I-C.
We did not spell it like that.
Yeah, we did.
We didn't put the E in.
Lexics. Yeah, we did.
No.
We went L-X? No, we had an E in there. Lex. Remember I said Lex. I only know one
Lex.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. When you Google dyslexic, you get dyslexic, then you get dyslexic font, dyslexic meaning, dyslexic. Why is font above the meaning of it?
I don't know.
Jokes, that's number three on the list. That's kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
Dyslexic heart?
Yeah.
How do you have a dyslexic heart?
I don't know. Maybe you can't say I love you properly. Like, you're just like, I love you. Honey, I love you.
Dyslexic advantage, dyslexic with numbers, dyslexia test, dyslexic people.
It's just for people who have trouble spelling, they couldn't have come up with a more difficult word.
What's your favorite word? I have to get all James Lipton on you.
No, that's a good one, man. My favorite word, I like conundrum.
Me too.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
And tough to spell too,
yeah.
But it rolls.
Yeah.
Conundrum.
Are there certain words if somebody doesn't know what they, like if you say it in a sentence and you can visibly see on their face that they're just like they go into social shock.
Yeah.
Like just fucking like they're just like, all they can think about for the rest of the conversation is getting to the bathroom so they can look up what you said.
Yeah, what was that word he said?
Or they laugh. That's usually like a quick, that's a way to handle a quick way to handle stupid is just laugh.
Yeah. Trilobites always a good one.
Mm-hmm. What is it? What is it? Trilobite. Is that what you drink before you go to bed and you don't want to shit your pants in your 80s? Trilobite.
You know, I've left
every night I wake up and I've shit myself. What can I try?
Labite. A trilobite is an ancient prehistoric crustacean, like an ancient crab-like, awesome. Horseshoe crab-like creature.
Are they still around?
No, they're extinct. But right. But I just realized, at what point would you ever insert that into a conversation? To, yeah, I was over shopping at the mall today, trilobite, and I saw some great new shoes that I like the trilobite on, and oh my god, I mean, they were only trilobite $40 trilobite.
Like, that's how you do it.
Yeah,
you just answer your own question.
Yeah. What's your word?
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, can I do one more before?
Yeah.
Because I know you're thinking.
Yeah.
But this one's a good one. What you don't it? Hear it much. You hear it a lot in baseball. Brouhaha.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it looks like they're having a brouhaha down at the third baseline. It looks like Corey Peters has stepped up on Donnie Matthews, and there's a real brouhaha breaking out. Oh, man. Wow. Yeah, that kid could throw a fucking ripe mushroom through a battleship.
Good thing he just has to work with a baseball, Skip.
Brouhaha.
Wait, so that is... Brouhaha is like a scuffle.
It's like a dust-up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like a little physical confrontation.
Baseball commentators really do have the best words,
yeah,
because they have so much time to talk. I think more than anybody, so much downtime. Also, so many ways to talk about the same thing over and over again.
Well, that's why they're called color guys, color commentators, because they have to make the words colorful.
Come
they can't
life.
Just go, and there goes Davis running down to the second base line. He's stopped on the pad, and he's looking around. You know, he's going to, and there goes Davis. He's chugging down to that second baseline.
Yeah, like
he's
a gazelle from the 50s.
Yeah, he looks like he sprained his ankle like Helen Keller's cleft lip on a lollipop. You know, I don't.
Yeah, see, I know what happened.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, when you describe that.
You make it colorful, man. Colorful.
I think you could have been a baseball commentator.
I could have, man.
You, yeah. To me, should have been what they tried to do with Dennis Miller in Monday Night Football.
Oh,
which,
yeah,
is put a comedian in the booth.
Yeah,
that just, for whatever reason, to him, like, you, Nick Swartzen, like, there's guys that would just add so much.
Yeah,
without taking away from the game, because sports fans, I think they want that. I think that's why sports and comedy have never truly fused together.
Yeah,
because the people, they don't want to the rug to be pulled out from under how much they do care about them.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, you're right. It's a delicate line. Yeah. And the problem with Miller is he's great, but he's very, he always, to me, came off as schmarmy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He was like Favre's going back to toss the pigskin like a fucking tulip from the Quiznos factory on a Wednesday morning when Barb got her fucking pussy cut in the ringer.
Whoa,
you know.
Guy. That's Miller, though,
I'm
right?
Quoting
that's
Miller.
A quote.
Yeah.
That's not, you didn't say that. That was
no,
Miller.
Dude, I'm quoting Miller.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think I saw that game. Now, what's... What's your word, bro, Sefiosh?
I like bewildered.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. But you have to be careful, because
why?
You know, it means like confused. So you can't be sitting. It's not an easy word to just toss away, but say casually. Because
yeah.
It comes across like you can't just, like, if someone's like trying to show you, you know, how to properly do calligraphy, and you're just like, I still not getting it. I'm pretty, you know, this is a little more bewildered than I want it to be.
Yeah, I'm sort of bewildered.
That you know, people are gonna probably be like, you know, I think it's time. I think it's time for the party to end.
I think it's time for you to
get on your scooter and head home.
It's like when Linda Blair came down at the Christmas party and peed all over the carpet. It's like time to wrap it up.
Who's Linda Blair?
From The Exorcist, bro. You've never seen that scene where they're all sitting there singing Christmas carols at the piano and Linda Blair comes down from the upstairs and just stands in front of the whole room and pees on the carpet.
Was she the one in the white dress?
Yeah.
And the straight and the black hair?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, classic.
What would you do if that happened in a normal Christmas setting?
I'd probably throw the punch bowl underneath her and say, have at her, you drunk idiots. Now, what's your word? No, but you gave me bewildered, which is a common word. What's your word to kind of make everyone else feel stupid, Like, I had trilobite, and then after I said it, I turned out to be the stupid one.
I'll tell you what it is.
But what's your word? And I wonder if I know it. Because you didn't know trilobite. Like, I got you. I got you bad.
Well, that's a crustacean, you said.
Yeah.
Idiosyncrasy.
Ooh, what's that mean?
It means like peculiar or, you know, just like a little off.
Ooh.
Like you know, almost like a behavioral thing that,
yeah,
let me, I'll go to the exact definition.
Wow. Idiosyncrasy. It almost says idiot. It's like a T away from idiot. It's idio, and you think you're being called an idiot. And then when you add the syncrasy and you don't know the word, then you become an idiot.
Yeah. It's
wow. It's
pertaining to the nature of idiosyncrasy or something peculiar to an individual. The best minds are idiosyncratic and unpredictable as they follow the course of scientific discovery.
Wow. Players gotta play, bro. Wow.
Do you ever dumb down your conversation if you're in a social setting and you're
constantly.
Yeah.
I especially find when someone starts talking about politics. I literally just pretend I'm an idiot.
Like, just to try to...
Well, I watch...
you don't want to engage.
I watch it so much. I'm so immersed in politics that when I hear people starting to talk, I realize within about four words that they're not knowledgeable.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to engage with people where I'm hearing them say things that don't exist or aren't real or they don't have a clue. And then I'm going to start into it with them, and then they'll start layering on stuff they don't know.
Yeah.
And so I just go, oh, really? Really? Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. That guy is a... Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying. Okay, yeah, for sure. I got it.
You like, turn to Jay Leno. Yeah.
Yeah, instead of like totally hammering them with the facts, and I because people these days don't want to hear the facts, you know?
No.
So I just tune that out. I pretend I'm a moron when it comes to that.
That's a good maneuver because those types of, I mean, shit, there was one, political discussions can, I didn't know this until, sixth grade, this was what, for me, 1995, right?
Yeah.
And I'm at my neighbor's house for Thanksgiving. It was my best friend and his folks. And it was just my mom and I. So
who were they again? Do you remember
the Garmeyers?
Yeah, the Garmeyers. Yeah, that's one of my words, by the way. Yeah, when I'm in Europe, I throw that around. Davidson, would you get the Garmeyers, please? We're about to play bocce ball. Yes, the green ones. Yes, absolutely. Yes, Davidson, the Garmeyers, you fucking twat. Right? Did I use it in a sentence or what?
Oh, my God. There was Julia Garmeyer, Steve Garmeyer.
Oh, she was a treat.
She ran through a firework once in our neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
She's a little boozed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, ran right through a Piccolo Pete.
Oh, wow.
She's still with us.
Wow.
So Steve, the dad, right, 6'5", just a huge human.
Whoa.
And his brother comes over for Thanksgiving. Hasn't seen him in almost 12 years.
Okay.
This is a fucking reunion of for the masses.
Yeah,
And we're sitting there, and there's like a stale break in conversation. I'm in the sixth grade. I have no political knowledge or anything to add.
Yeah.
Or even if it started without me, I would have just sat there, gotten more seconds, maybe pulled out my recorder and added some background music. But there's a stale break in the conversation, and I felt like I needed to like get it going somehow.
Yeah.
Like, so I say, I take a sip of my my porridge or my root beer, and I go, so who's everybody voting for?
And you're six.
Cut sixth grade.
Sixth grade. Okay, 12 so you're old. 12, yeah.
Cut to Steve, the dad of the household, and his brother just getting into it. It ends with Steve trying to choke his brother, walking out of the house saying, fuck you, this is why it took 12 years. slam of the door. And then literally, I haven't moved from my seat. I almost, it was like, if it was a movie, I wouldn't have even moved from my bike.
That was
you know?
Pay-per-view UFC, bro.
Yeah, it was.
That was like early before satellite.
Yeah, and Julia, who ran through fireworks, literally didn't skip a beat. Door slams, she fucking, we're all sitting down, and then she just goes, who wants mashed potatoes?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I learned my lesson then to just like steer clear. So dumbing it down is, you know, that's what I should have done.
Well, it's a shame you have to dumb it down because I feel like, you know, people who are knowledgeable shouldn't have to dumb it down.
Yeah.
What I think is people who aren't knowledgeable shouldn't chime in.
Yes.
So they should be the ones that sit back. And I'm not saying that to be... mean-spirited, but if they did sit back and listened, they could learn from people that... But then the other question is, you go, well, who really knows what? Like, someone could be standing there mouthing off about politics and maybe not know a thing, but sound like they know a lot.
Yeah.
And most people, including myself, probably don't know what's what. So, you know, it's a toughie.
Yeah. Well, speaking of what's what, did you see Fergie sing the national anthem?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Well, I just saw a clip, okay? Yeah. But what I
saw the clip that was publicized, that was...
Yeah.
Banner,
yeah. And I was, you know, my cousin, who's in the Bare Naked Ladies, they were there.
By the way, they crushed it.
Yeah, they did the Canadian anthem.
So, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. I didn't go. He invited me to go, but I'm not a basketball fan.
Yeah.
I could have had great seats. I don't know one basketball player in the... I'm a hockey guy. I don't know basketball.
Do you know Steve Garmeyer?
No. Is he a Muppet?
That was the dad who got in the fight at Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Well, if we were doing this in Europe, I would have nailed it immediately. Chalmers, would you bring the Garmeyers? Yes, the blue ones.
The blue ones.
You dumb twat. No, here's the thing. People were reaming Fergie.
Hard.
And I'm like, folks, she's an artist. She's interpretive.
Yeah.
She's a very, very good, borderline amazing singer. She's brought you tons of joy, tons of great listening.
She brought you Let's Get It Started in here.
Yeah, she brought you Fergalicious, Dalo.
Wow, yeah.
And it's like everyone else interprets the anthem.
Yeah.
She's an artist. That's what artists do. Let her interpret. If it goes a little wonky, give her credit for trying, but...
Also, 99% of people don't get to sing the national anthem.
Yeah, and I'm like...
And couldn't, by the way. Even if you were to walk into the stands and be like, hey, do you want to sing it tonight? Guarantee that person would butcher it.
Yeah, and it's like you know, she's an artist. Like, leave her alone. You know, I thought it was really cruel. I saw like people on the news hammering her and saying all these things. And then here's what really killed me. Like the next day, she went on Twitter and apologized. Yeah. And I'm like, are you people making her apologize for her brilliant talent and for being an artist and for taking a chance? Gee, sorry she just didn't go out and sing it like Cookie Cutter like she did in grade 4.
I thought you were going to say like Cookie Monster.
Happy New Year to you.
No, wait, that's not the anthem. Okay, see, that's
Happy
why
New
I don't
Year
sing.
To you
what did I sing?
In the tune of Happy Birthday.
See, that's why they don't ask me to do the anthem. That was not Fergalicious.
Oh, my God.
Wait, what is it?
The rocket's red glare.
There it is, yeah.
The bombs bursting in there. Ooh, cookie. Ooh, condom.
Wait, what's in that?
Carrot needle. Judo. In the land of the free.
He got it back.
Yeah, I got it back.
Cookie never loses his...
Cookie never uses his crumble.
Have you ever gotten asked to throw out a first pitch or anything like that for or a hockey? What's the hockey?
I got asked to throw a kid out of a window. I'm moving like a minivan on the highway once.
Well, that's just like...
Yeah, that wasn't fun. No, I haven't been asked to throw out a first...
Those were in your Craigslist days when you were just responding to every email.
Craigslist. No, I've never thrown out a... Oh, wait.
What's the hockey? You just drop the puck and say, let's play some puck.
Yeah. No, the only thing I got asked to do once was I was at a basketball game. Some people took me in Toronto to see the Raptors.
Yeah.
And it was very weird. I was shooting a movie up there, and the scene we were shooting when we wrapped was I was wearing a polyester orange jump like blazer and pants with elevator shoes and my hair greased back and a big collar. We were shooting like a disco type scene, and they found me on the cam in the audience, and they asked me to come down at halftime and stand under the net and hold the ball up. So when the mascot ran at me, jumped off a trampoline, twirled in the air, grabbed the ball out of my hands in midair, and slam dunked it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it worked, but he almost flew right into my head. Like, he missed me by about,
an
inch.
Well, that's what people forget is, like, these mascots are, like, trained gymnasts, like, more or less.
Yeah.
But, like, they're also wearing a fucking... animal suit with very little visibility.
Yeah, and I almost felt the felt of it, whatever it was. I think it was a giant iguana or a raptor or some trilobite maybe, and it flipped right over my head. So that was, I think that was my only, like, standing in the middle of a public sports arena and looking like a dill. And I looked like a moron. I mean, no one knew I was shooting a movie that day. We went right from the set to the game.
Oh, shit. Because
it was like that tight.
Yeah.
And
what movie?
It was called Mr. Head Mistress. It was a Disney movie. And one of my co-stars...
Is that where you played a woman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I played a woman, Adam. Yes, I did.
I have... Yeah. This movie has been... Like, we were just talking about places to visit, bucket list locations. That's on my bucket list. Like, that's in my Netflix queue.
What?
I saw a movie...
Mr. Head Mistress?
Yeah, I saw...
Is it on Netflix?
It's got to be somewhere. Wow. But I saw a poster for it somewhere.
Oh, my God.
At some point. Or maybe I even saw the VHS of it in a movie store at one point.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, shit, I can't forget to
You know what's interesting? Oddly enough, I think as far as straight acting goes, it's one of my proudest movies. And it was under the radar. It was one of those movies.
Well, it's Disney.
Disney used to do Sunday night. They did original movies for TV.
Yes.
These weren't theatrical. So they asked me to star in this movie for Sunday night movies when Disney used to do that.
It's a big deal, by the way.
It was a big deal, but as far as acting goes, I remember it was very challenging because I was the lead. I had to play a guy, kind of like a Mrs. Doubtfire type of scenario. Very challenging, but I threw everything into it, and it was one of the few movies where I didn't try to go crazy. I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to let the director... I'm just going to let him
be a little,
like,
more subtle and kind of.
Yeah, I was just going to lay back and not try to bring the comedy and just, you know, just chill and I really focused on the acting and it was really fun. I was actually, when I looked back at it, I go, you know, I feel good about that acting there, which is a lot of times you just feel uncomfortable, but I was happy with it. Yeah.
So it's called Mrs. Mistress?
Mr. Head Mistress. It's about a guy who's on the lam, like a criminal, and he hides out at an all-girls boarding school. They think he gets into drag, and all the girls think he's the new headmistress that was brought here to save the failing school.
Oh, shit.
And it was really fun. It was, very, like I said, very Mrs. Doubtfire and really cool.
Was this pre or post Rocket Man or Dumb and Dumber? Dumb and Dumber was the first thing.
Yeah,
right?
This was after like Half Baked. This was after everything. Yeah, it just came out of nowhere. It's like Disney just said, hey, we'd love you to do this movie. And I was like, yeah, it's for TV. I don't really want to do a TV movie. But then I saw the script and I was like, oh, this is going to be... Like, I saw that it would be very challenging, and that's what kind of got me fired up.
That's what draws you to projects, yeah?
Well, I like, you know, I don't want to just be another talking head. It's fun as an actor when there's something that really kind of challenges you and makes you kind of push it. And
was there a moment when you first, like, put on the woman garb, like, whatever it was, whether it was the wig or the, like, did you come up with a voice first, or did you wait till you sat in a makeup chair with a wig and you were like, oh, there she is?
I usually wait till I get right on set into the thing, but Disney wanted to do a bunch of pre stuff just
tests.
To see how it would look
and
how I would sound, and it was weird because the first director they had wanted to, he was really weird. He wanted to make me all, like, you know, like, kind of looked like trampy and slutty and like big makeup and it was really like weird, and I didn't say anything.
Trampy.
Yeah, like kind of like running makeup and big giant lipstick, like it didn't fit, and I didn't
he have some weird fetish. He was like,
I don't know, but I didn't say anything, and then sure enough, like 2 days later, we were like, Harlan, meet your new director, and this guy was gone, and I was like, okay, I'm kind of glad. And then the new guy toned it right down, and then I was able to find where I wanted to be, and it was cool. Have you ever played you've done a lot of acting and sketch stuff. You probably had to play girls, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the first time I did it was for my first play in high school, which was the Nancy Drew.
Wow. Pre-gender, pre-op, mystery solver. I found the penis. It's in my pants. I mean, my dress. Nancy Dude mysteries. Right, followed up by the Hardy Girls. Did you ever get into that play?
Oh,
But it's fun when you you have to play a woman.
It was
because
awesome.
So, as a guy, you get sucked into this other character because you're suddenly,
also the challenge of making it believable because you're like, I know people are looking at a majority of what's happening, being like, that's not a woman. So knowing that, you're like, well, let me make them not think that.
Yeah, it's weird.
And let me go full, you know, post-op, you know?
Yeah, and all the things you know about women, all the things you've observed and seen and experienced, you instantly absorb them.
Isn't that crazy?
You start doing their mannerisms.
Yeah.
You start finding their inflections, just the way you sit, the way you pose, the way you hold your hands.
Yeah. I don't think there is
flick your hair. It's amazing.
Oh yeah, tucking hair behind the ears,
it's just
or like
all these mannerisms come to life.
The fake listening to a friend of something, you know,
the fake orgasming of a friend. Yeah.
Did you do plays in high school?
I did. I did a few. Yeah, I think I was the first one I was ever in. I was a bird. And then I was, I did that one.
Did you come out and bow? Or when you're a bird, do you perch up on the wings at the end of the show?
I just remember.
Did they put a spot up on you and instead of just saying bowing, you just went, ha!
I think I went and dropped a turd on the principal's car is what I did. I can't remember. We probably took a bow because in high school, that's all part of the theater. They want it to be all done the way traditionally it's done.
Yeah.
You go out and you take the bow and the curtain call.
Yeah.
It's exciting when you're a kid.
It is.
You know? Yeah, it was
That's
fun.
Where you got the love for all this, yeah?
I don't know. I don't know if I got it there. I certainly found it. It was probably more half terrifying. Like what was intriguing about it is it was half completely terrifying to be exposed and up on stage in front of your peers and the whole school. And then it was also really rewarding because it was also enchanting because it was like you were like doing this thing and making people laugh and it was just all kinds of things. So yeah, it was the start of something, I guess.
It is interesting to think back to those days and think like how uncomfortable you were in the first handful. Like I remember even doing like talent shows in high school, looking back being like, yeah, of course I did that. But like I remember if I really think back, like being terrified and not being very comfortable out there, but like more comfortable I think than I thought I would be, but comfortable enough to be out there. But then there's only just from doing it is the only way to get more comfortable, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You just gotta keep getting out there, man.
Does stand up still terrify you? No. Are you so at ease when you go out there? Is that why you always are trying to like I've taken a page out of your book with that by trying to do a little bit of a crowd work or something and breaking the wall every set to make it to make sure that I'm actively making this completely unlike any other set.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if that was on purpose that you do that, but in watching you over the years and opening for you, that's, I would see that and be like, oh, and even in shorter sets, I was like, oh, it's always, you know, you'd always do different material for sure. But like, stuff like that, spontaneous, whether it's crowd work or something, you would just do something to make it where you're like, oh yeah, this set is not, you know, and I think that's good because it makes them, when you do go into your material that maybe you've done and you're honing, you're going to have at least somewhat of a fresh attitude for it.
I don't know if I ever did it to try and create like a freshness to it.
Okay.
I don't know if that was my MO. My MO was just to go into the crowd. I was curious about them. I had no agenda other than I want to know about them. I want to experience the reality of the people watching me.
Yeah.
I want to know about them and I want to interface with them, you know, and I want to be funny for them in the moment. I want to take a piece of their reality, their life. If they're an accountant, if they work at a zoo, I want to take their reality and make humor out of it and whip it up like right in front of them, like a recipe, you know, and cook it and watch them laugh and go, wow, that just happened spontaneously in the moment. And I just find that really gives me a charge.
Do you remember the first crowd work moment you had that was like almost like a breakthrough where you were like, because you told me early on that you started doing it because you were, I don't know if it was afraid to talk to the crowd, but you were always avoiding it so that you started to do it.
Yeah, well, I know what I always wanted to do
yes,
it.
That's
and
right.
At the beginning, I was very scared to do it. So I'd just go out and stare into the spotlight, you know, because it's intimidating.
Fuck yeah, to break the wall.
Well, the thing with stand-up is it's scary enough, but if you go out and you just do your own material, at least you're in a box where you've got the safety of knowing, okay, they're either going to laugh or not laugh at my material.
Yep.
So it's going to be one or the other, or maybe the reaction will be in the middle. But, you know, at least I'm safe because I know what I'm going to say. But once you go out of that box and start kind of, in a way, asking the crowd to participate in making you funny, you're just laying it all out there.
Yeah.
And so that's that, that you no longer are in a safe box. You're just out there. And there's many nights where I talked to the crowd and ate it, and there's many nights where it was in the middle, and many nights it was just killed. So it's, but I like that danger. I like that excitement.
Yeah. Do you remember the wins more than the losses? Or did
Well, yeah, because there's more wins than there are losses, you know. But there's you know, one of the very first times I did it was my very first gig where I left Toronto, which is where I started.
Yep.
You know, that first time you go on the road is very intimidating. It's daunting. It's scary.
Because you create this idea of maybe what you've been doing only works there.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. And you're not sure if other people in other parts of the country will get it, or and just that you're in a place you're not used to.
Not your home base,
and you're young and you haven't traveled much and yada, yada, yada. So my very first night, I went to this packed theater. It was in the province of Prince Edward Island, Canada. It's on the east coast, up above Maine.
I think the Gaumeyers live there.
The Gaumeyers, please, Jameson, will you bring me the yellow roasted twat? So my first night up, and I'm middling. I'm not headlining. I have to do 30 minutes as a middle act. And I've never done it on the road. And my opening line, I thought, I'll break the bubble. I'll go into the crowd. And there's this kid in the front in a black leather jacket. And I go, hey, guy, what's your name? And he just, I don't know if he was waiting for it or it just was cosmetic timing or whatever. And he just burped. I held the mic right to his mouth. I go, what's your name? Put the mic in his mouth. And he burped like huge burp. And the crowd went ballistic, and I had to wait for them to stop laughing for about a minute and a half, and this was the first 30 seconds of my half hour. I wasn't experienced enough to get them back. So I stood up there, did my whole act for 30 minutes to silence.
What?
And it was probably the one time where I went back to the hotel room and just went, should I just jump out this window? Like, I was devastated.
Yeah,
I was
man.
Crushed. I was crushed. I'd never experienced. It's the one thing every comic, you know, just dreads. You know what I mean?
Well, it's getting the rug pulled out from you in moment number one.
Oh, yeah. And it was on the road, and it was like a big moment.
Did you know the headliner or anybody at the club that could comfort you?
I knew the headliner. He was not the comforting kind.
Right.
Yeah. And
you should have fucking
nobody.
That. Yeah.
There was no one there to coddle me, man. That's why I just went up to the hotel room and I stared out the window and just went, did I make a horrible decision? You know what I mean?
It's, yes.
Not that I was considering really jumping, but it metaphorically, should I jump and end my stand-up comedy career?
Yes.
Should I kill it? Because I felt
toss
like
my joke book off the balcony.
Right. It's like I was like, I don't. Maybe I made a huge mistake. And when you compact that with all the stuff you said about being in a new place, and you start going, well, of course I could do it in my own city, but I'll never be able to do it anywhere else. And it was very
what city
humbling.
Was it?
It was Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, beautiful. Wonderful, enchanting city, but it was just crazy memories.
Fuck.
But then I got over it, and I met a beautiful girl down at the bar, and that kind of
that makes
got
everything
me through
better.
It. Yeah.
have you been? You've been overseas to do stand up, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of places.
Yeah, I've done it in Scotland, Ireland, Germany, where else? Australia.
Because I just did it in Australia and Japan, and
yeah,
it was the first time doing it out of the country. And, you know, I had the same thoughts about, I mean, I know Australia crowds love American comedy. You must slaughter down there, yeah?
I do. I do about the same as I do anywhere else. It's not like I do better or worse,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a little bit
But is there something from your body of work that they really are like, I don't know. Did they scream out? Like,
yeah, there's a lot of fans of my movies, like Something About Mary and Half Baked and Dumb and Dumber and all that. But it's the only thing when you go overseas, there's little cultural differences. There's little technical references. Like, you know, I used to do a joke about Rice Krispies, and over there they call them Rice Bubbles. And like just there's little things that you they change the names to things.
Or hey, how you going?
Yeah.
You know, it's confusing.
Or you know, French fries, they call them crisps, you know, over in Australia.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, and root, it means F-U-C-K, you know.
Does it really?
Yeah, root. Didn't you hear them say, hey, look, mate, you want to go for a root? You didn't have guys saying
that
to
you?
That
was go for a fuck?
Yeah, what did you do? You thought it was a root beer? Dude, oh no.
I missed out.
What were you doing over at the malt shop? Hey, mate, we want some whipped cream on that fucking root beer.
They did say legend a lot.
Legend?
To Adam. Yeah, they would just kind of whisper it to him, be like, fucking legend.
Oh, mate, legend, mate.
I guess, which is like, you know, you're cool.
Yeah. Did you like the Aussies?
They were dope. Yeah, they were.
I liked them.
They were really friendly and loved Americans and had, you know, and loved coming to the States. There's one thing they did that we did on stage one night. It's called a shoey, where you drink beer out of a shoe.
Whoa.
This was in Brisbane.
Ooh.
And somebody yelled it out to Adam on stage to do it. So he did it. And then I had applied sunscreen to him in Perth at a beach and not done a good job. So he got severely burned. So every show he was pulling it up to show the crowd because it was so burnt with two white handprints on the back. So on
one
of the shows.
You were rubbing...
So we were at the beach.
Sunscreen.
I would love to know your take on this.
Wait a minute.
So the first time I've ever touched his back, right?
Ooh. He asked you.
Yeah, we're at the beach and he goes, hey, you can put some sunscreen on the back. And I go, sure. So now this is like...
But it wasn't a spray can?
No, it was the lotion.
Okay, then this was a setup.
Yeah.
He's got the hots for you, bro. Because everyone else is spraying.
Right?
You know that, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, you were seduced.
So
you squirted all over your hands. Yeah. That white cream.
So now, hey, kids are listening. So now you're checking in with your buddy. You're going, oh, what's his tolerance now for me touching his back? I'm going to wait for some sort of sign or signal, whether it's like a or a shoulder, you know, almost like you're shaking off whatever, just the touch.
Yeah.
And so two hand motions into applying.
Wax on, wax off. Yeah.
I hear, thank you. And I go, that was the sign. So I pull my hands up. Now, he probably could have recognized, well, that didn't feel like a lot of applying of the screen. So he showed the crowd in Brisbane, and then I was like, should I do a shoey to fucking make up for it? And they went fucking nuts. Like as if for your special, whatever clothes you do, the type of ovation and applause you want to hear is what I got for drink a beer out of a shoe. So I take my shoe off.
Ew.
They bring a beer out, pour it in, drank it. I was sick for 2 days.
Yeah. You know how much bacteria is in a shoe?
A lot.
Dude, why not just go get a Petri dish out of the fucking disease prevention center and suck a goblet of SARS? What the hell's the matter with you?
I don't know, man. Peer pressure.
God.
Australian peer pressure.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was.
You should have just stayed on the beach and oiled up Adam some more, dude.
We held koalas and fed kangaroos. Did you do that when you were
out
there?
How do you hold a koala when you're lathered in suntan oil? Did that thing squirt out and hit a ceiling fan?
This was a different day.
Okay.
They're old as fuck, by the way. They're like...
What?
They're,
koalas?
Yeah. The ones we held, anyway. They were like old men.
You can't say all of them are old. I mean, how does a baby koala feel? Hey, baby, you're old as fuck. Fuck you. Jeez, man. Blanket statement.
It'd be like just if someone just peeled Grandpa off the couch and put him in your lap.
Was it friendly? Most people always...
They were so soft. I mean, they were just... They said the koalas, they sit in these little you know, bamboo trees and they sleep. And then the only reason they get out of the trees is to look for food or sex.
So sounds like humans.
Yeah. And one of them was just sleeping with his head lodged in between two trees, sleeping. And she was like, "Yeah, if you guys were here 10 minutes ago, he was, you know, strolling for chicks."
You sure he wasn't stuck? His head jammed between two trees. You're not good with animals, are you?
You look pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
I did get sized up by a kangaroo. We were feeding them, though. One of them stood up. And
they
like,
can kick.
They look like they're doing dips all day.
They're
so jacked in the upper body.
The ruse.
It pushed his legs went up, ooh, and his upper body swelled up in one motion.
Ooh.
And I was...
Was it a big red?
Oh, yeah.
One of the big reds?
What's a big red?
The big reds are the giant, like the 6 foot tall kangaroos, the big boys.
It was reds. I mean, they were all taller than we were.
You know, they eat it over there, eh, mate?
They eat what over there?
They eat the ruse.
They eat people.
They eat the ruse.
The people do.
Yeah. Did you know that?
No.
Kangaroo meat's like a big thing over there. They eat it.
Fuck.
No, they eat it. Not fuck it. Dude.
I got a poor guided tour.
Yeah.
Wait, is it, why were they?
I'd be hard having sex with a kangaroo. How would you hold on? I mean, they just.
They hold you, I think.
Yeah, but they jump. They're always jumping. You brought it up. You said the F word. Anyways, they do eat the roux over there.
Have you tried it?
I haven't tried it, no.
Have you tried the roux? Is that the commercial for it at the Outback Steakhouse? Have you tried the roux?
How do you speak Australian?
Not
you
Foster's.
You tried the roux.
Not no, Foster's.
They hate it over there.
It's not a real beer.
No.
America made it up to, I don't know, get on the tourism bandwagon.
Yeah. That's like down here, but everyone goes, oh, I love that Canadian beer, Moosehead. And then you go up to Canada and everyone's like, ew, junk, you know.
I'll give you a can of.
Yeah. But what, did the koala, like, did it hold you? Like,
yeah.
I'm interested in koalas.
The guide, she peeled his arms off, or his claws off of her, and they just kind of rested on your shoulders.
Did it claw you?
Nope. This guy didn't look like he was capable of a yawn. You know what I'm saying? Like, he looked very...
So he was gentle.
Yeah.
Huh.
But, you know, then it does make you kind of want to test his agility. Like, I was like, I don't, you know, not like I don't want to put a finger somewhere, but I did want to see how quickly he would go from 0 to 60.
You should have squirted some of that tanning lotion in his little hands and see if he'd rub Adam out.
He was friendly, though. Are they pets? Wait, is that the sound of the koala getting
louder? Yes, I was trying. I wasn't there. I was trying.
You should do ADR for the next Homeward Bound if it features a koala getting lathered up.
Yeah, a Rottweiler, a Siamese cat, a collie, and a koala bouncing over the meadow. Yeah. Which one of those gets eaten by the pack of wolves first? God, so cruel. God, what's wrong with you?
Have you held a koala?
No. I haven't. And I've been there. I've been to Australia 3 times, and I haven't held a koala. I'm kind of jealous, Brosh.
Yeah, you got to get on that.
I'm a little mad here.
That's quite the conundrum.
We might have to have a brouhaha over this. Ooh.
Speaking of pets.
Yeah.
You sent me a teaser. How much can we talk about the special?
Whatever you want, Broshish.
Well, I've been excited about this since you brought it up to me.
Ooh, okay. My new comedy special.
Caramel Corn.
Yeah.
The dog. The pug.
The pug. Yeah.
We talked about this briefly last time you were on the podcast.
Yeah.
That you did the whole special, the Irvine Improv.
Yeah.
As a pug.
Yeah.
And you sent me the teaser, and all it did was make me want to watch the whole thing right now.
Oh, really? Cool. Yeah. You're the first one to see the teaser.
I love that. I didn't realize how, and I think people are going to be very pleased about this.
Yeah.
How that the mouth on the mask is moving.
It articulates perfectly.
Yes.
That was the catalyst for me doing the special.
If that wasn't happening, I don't know how much I would be able to follow.
Well, that's what pulled me into wanting to do it. I videotaped myself on my phone with the mask and I saw how well the mouth moved and articulated, I was like, oh man, this looks too good. So
yeah, it was, because then after a few minutes, and even after the trailer, which I think was a few minutes, you can suspend your disbelief of like, oh, this is, you know, like enough to be like, there's a fucking dog doing stand-up right now.
Yeah. Well, just so people know, I did an hour-long show as a pug. So it was basically me in my human form, but my head was this full head mask of a pug dog, and the mouth moves perfectly. And I didn't build my special as Harlan Williams. I built it as Caramel Corn the Pug.
You're not going to put your name anywhere?
It's just at the beginning, the production, Harlan Williams Presents.
Okay, so people will know that.
But I didn't know if people would go along for the ride for a full hour. I had only tested the mask for about 5 minutes on stage.
That's it?
I'd never gone more than about 5 minutes with the mask on. So I was like, are they going to stick with me for a full hour as a pug? And they did. It was 600 people, and they were with me the whole way, and it was a crazy cool experience.
You are a fucking pioneer as far as like doing shit like that, because like
an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you got to be a little bit of both of that to even think of trying that. And the fact that you did it and took such a leap, and then it paid off. Like, at what moment did you just kind of like, because again, you having those nerves of like, fuck, what if they don't stick with me for the hour?
Yeah.
But you can't let that seep in too much, because then that's going to take away from you really going for it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But there probably is a part of you being like, man, if at minute 10 they're not on board at all, what do I do?
Well, I just resigned myself before I went out. I said, they're going to bail on me after about 8 minutes. And so I'm going to just keep going as if there's no one in the room, as if I'm just giving it my all in my head. I was like, I'm just do it like you're doing an audition. You're walking into a casting office, yeah, and you're doing an audition, and just go for it. Go for broke. Boom. And so I just thought, if they stop, if they abandon me, you know, they know they're there for a special, so they're not going to get up and leave. But I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to keep rolling as if I'm doing it without the mask. But luckily, they stayed with me. I did two shows. The first show was stronger than the second show, but okay. It was a really cool challenge and experience. So
what were the, did you take pictures as Caramel Corn after and like?
Yeah, we went out to the out to the lobby and out on the outside the venue, and people were lining up to do pictures, and people referring to me as Caramel, and there's even a lady in that you'll see when you watch the special. There's a lady that I think got really turned on by it, and she started like yelling really seductive things, and she's like
in the show
you it's in the it? Special, oh, yeah. She's like, awesome. I want to go back to the hotel and do stuff to you that you haven't even dreamed of. And I'm like, I hope you like it doggy style, yeah, baby. Yeah, you know, yeah, so just like, it was really fun. Like, people really got into it and played along, and so it's a cool experiment. We'll see where it goes from here. You know,
is it what does it give you at least some sort of a thought bubble to maybe do other. Do the whole Animal Kingdom, or is this like a one-off?
No, I just like this guy as a character, and actually it got me so kind of inspired and excited. You know, about 2 weeks after I did the special, I got on my computer and wrote like a half-hour pilot for a show.
Is that
a
what
sitcom?
Became? No,
featuring Caramel Corn. I haven't shown it to anyone yet, but I actually wrote. Oh,
I thought this was, you're gonna say that's what became Puppy Dog Pals, but no, that was way.
This is like a real sitcom with Caramel Corn the pug as the central character in a human world. So I just think there's a possibility for this character
because yeah.
he's so weird and kind of out there.
There
so.
Are no limits for TV at this point.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of neat. We'll see what happens.
How did you write all the material yourself?
Yeah, all the material. And then I did, as we were talking about earlier, I did a lot of improv, which that was the other thing. I didn't know if the crowd would be able to improv with me, because I didn't know if the mask would be a barrier, because it's like, what am I talking to here? Is this a dog? Is this a kid? Like it was, but they just fell right into it. And there's some great improv in the special. And so now we're just looking at a time to release. It's probably going to come out, I'm thinking, probably around April or May.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so it's coming out soon.
Have you cut it?
It's all cut. We're just doing some final sound and stuff like that.
How many
that,
cameras did you have on there?
We had like six cameras.
Over at Improv, I mean, they built that place for specials.
Yeah, and we brought in a whole production team. It looks great. It sounds great.
Where are you going to release it?
Well, the bad news is, and I knew this going into it, and that's why I financed the whole thing myself. I knew that it would probably get a no from everybody. So Netflix, HBO, Comedy Central, Showtime, everyone's passed on it. We've already put it out and everyone said no. And I wasn't surprised. I was disappointed, but I wasn't surprised because it's like, they don't know what to do with that, but that's not going to stop me from pushing myself.
Yep.
And so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to release it on Amazon Prime.
Oh, great.
And then I'm also going to, I'm going to start an account on Patreon. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yeah, I have,
but it's a web site where you can kind of pay whatever you want to artists, and you pay a certain amount and you can watch the whole special for $1, or if you feel generous and you want to drop $30 or $5 or whatever, it's kind of a pay-as-you-go type of thing to help support people doing different stuff.
That's awesome.
So yeah, so it's going to get out there into the world. I don't know if it'll blow up or blow down or just blow or be, you know, who knows. But
you got to do. Are you going to do press as Carmel?
I'm
going
to try. I'm going to talk to Conan. I'd love to go on Conan.
You know,
and actually do stand up as Carmel on Conan,
dude.
And then do panel. So I haven't talked to them yet, but once we establish our date,
loves you.
Yeah. So we'll see.
There's a handful. Well, maybe we can have you come back as Carmel, because we use on other times we tape a lot of the pods. So it'd be great
if you
get
do
video.
If you do one where you're all I'll come in as Carmel, you just as Carmel right away, because Carmel's a little bluer than me.
Yeah,
my act is fairly clean compared to most, and I decided with Carmel, I thought, you know, this guy's a dog, and I just thought it would kind of be funny to hear a dog being a bit dirty and foul mouthed. And so the Carmel Corn special is a little bluer than you'd normally see from me, so it's more of a character, you know.
Yeah. And this wasn't based on like an old character you did from like sketch back in the day.
No.
This just came from...
It came from, I was wandering around in a Halloween store and I found this mask and I just bought it as a goof, and then I put it on and I saw the mouth moving and the way it looked on when I looked at it back in my phone, and I was like, oh my God, this is just too... And, you know, I'd been looking for something new to do as a comedy special.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I'm always trying to find something that really stimulates me, and I was like, man... I think this is it, and so I just went for it.
Because you said you're done with doing the theater thing for now. Yeah.
Well, it's funny. I was out with Tom Green the other night for sushi. We went out, and he goes, you know, Har, maybe you should think about doing another one, just, you know, the old way. And I was like, you know, I don't think so. And he goes, well, you know, maybe your fans would like it. And he kind of was trying to talk me into it. I thought, well, maybe. We'll see, but I don't know. We'll see. Maybe one day.
Yeah.
But I do like.
It's been so long since you have, right? Probably at least 10 years.
It's been probably, maybe 8 years. Not since I've done a special, but since I've done a traditional one.
Yeah.
I mean, my one before this was out in the desert.
Force of Nature.
Yeah, Force of Nature, and then this one. So who knows? Maybe the next one we'll see.
And it's been 11 years since you were named Best Improviser in on the NBC show, Thank God You're Here.
Oh, my God. How do you know about that? Did you see that?
What was that?
Thank God You're Here?
Yeah.
Oh, that was just a show that NBC did where you basically, they get like four celebrities and they build some sets and basically they put you in a costume and they tell you to walk through a door. And on the other side of the door is a cast of people on a dedicated set. And the first line they say to you when you walk through the door is, they go, oh, thank God you're here. And that's it. You just have to improvise from that moment.
It's awesome.
In the door. And then you start talking. They start, and you've got to kind of look around the room, see what's there, and kind of build a scene. And fortunately, that's something I love to do. So I just kind of rocked it, you know. And then at the end, it was me, Jane Lynch. Who's the guy on Seinfeld, the little bald guy?
Jason Alexander.
Yeah, it was him. And then the big, there's another stand-up comic. Anyway, so I ended up winning.
That's awesome.
Winning an award. And yeah, it was really fun. I loved it, man.
There should be more of those shows. I mean, I guess like the, you know, with Alec Baldwin, like Match Game, like, but there should be like more fun, like something like that sounds way better than just a show that's where it's just kind of like one word answers, where there's more to push you. I guess Hollywood Game Night, I guess, is that to an extent, but even that still it's just kind of like, you know, it's not really testing your skills.
That's what was great about this show, because it really forced you had to act out a 4 or 5 minute scene with people you'd never met. You didn't know what you were walking through the door to. I think it's on YouTube if anyone wants to watch it. It's pretty funny. It's called Thank God You're Here. So check it out.
After that, YouTube, your Trix commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when we watched that on the first time?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God.
All right. So Caramel Corn will be April or May special.
Yeah, April or May. Yep, that's when we're looking at getting it out there.
Puppy Dog Pals is going strong on Disney Junior.
Yeah, Puppy Dog Pals, my animated show. We're working on the second season, and we don't have a release date for season two, but if you have kids and you love Puppy Dog Pals, it's coming out probably... I don't know the dates, but I would guess somewhere between June and September, October.
Awesome.
But we don't have an official date, so that's just a guess.
My niece has got my nephew into it. He's 3. They're 8.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's really
it's awesome.
It's going crazy. Yeah, like it's like they're making all these toys, and their kids are loving it. People,
you're going to be voicing a toy.
Yeah, and
people are
sending, like, to my Twitter page, I'm getting all kinds of parents sending videos of their kids watching the show,
playing with
the toys. It's amazing, the joy and the happiness you see these little kids having. But what's even weirder, I've gotten many, many videos of people's dogs watching the show. It's very bizarre.
What?
They're sitting there in front of the TV, like, and you can see their heads moving, following the puppies. Like, my show's about two little
dogs. And they turn
back
to the camera and go, great show, Harland. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah,
need to like it. I mean,
it's weird.
That's next level shit. I mean, like.
That's strange. I mean, I'm sure dogs look at a lot of TV because it's moving objects, but
they can recognize, though.
Yeah, I think they recognize the shape of little dogs, and somehow it catches their eye. And people, the only reason I know is because people send me videos to my Twitter page of, and by the way, because I've been getting so much stuff to my Twitter page, I started a new Twitter page called Puppy Pals Bob.
Good.
Bob is the dog's owner on the show.
That's how you play.
And I decided, man, I think I might need a dedicated fan page for all these videos and pictures. So if you're
Hell
Puppy
yeah.
Dog Pals fans, if you have kids, please go on Twitter, and it's @PuppyPalsBob.
Even if you don't have kids, even if you're a grown man in his 30s who gets stoned and watches it.
Yeah, right. Are you? That wouldn't be you, would it?
I don't talk about what I do in my personal life on this podcast.
Could you give me like a signal, like a wink or raise an eyebrow or something?
Me. There's your signal. That was my koala.
Now, can you give me another signal and just, because you're not 30, bro.
35.
Yeah. Nice try. I knew that signal was off by 5 years.
I want to.
Ooh, what's this?
I want to close this podcast by doing a... Something we've done a few times before. We did it with Melissa McCarthy. We did it with Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh.
I want to do it. It's called just a rapid fire question thing.
Great, man.
Just like a quick like this or that. You
I
know
thought
what I'm
it was Last Christmas I Gave You My Heart by George Michael. What the hell is this music?
This is Katy Perry's Firework instrumental.
Okay. Fire away, bro. Chefy Oshi Osh.
All right. Chicken or steak?
Steak.
Soccer or football?
Football.
Garmeyers or Davidson's?
Garmeyers.
Ski or surf?
Surf.
Skydive or bungee jump?
Bungee.
Sit or stand to pee?
Stand, bro. I'm a dude.
Salsa or reggae?
Salsa.
Salsa or guacamole?
Salsa.
80s music or 90s music?
80s.
Betty White or Oprah?
Betty.
Who would you fuck, Betty White or Oprah?
Both. At the same time. Boom. Koala style.
A Betty Oprah?
Yeah.
Weed brownie or bong?
Brownie.
Hot air balloon or butt plug?
Butt plug.
Hot.
That balloon won't fit up there, bro. Have you seen how big they are? Those hot air balloons are like 60 feet wide.
Hot tub or back rub?
After your story with Adam, I'll get that hot tub front of their koala claws. Jeez.
A long story that ends in a great joke or a pun that just destroys?
Pun. I got things to do. I got to get to Arby's.
That's it.
It. Oh.
How about this? Johnny English or Death Wish?
Death Wish. Yeah,
we're going to go see that. Thanks for being here, Har.
Dude, you're awesome.
At Harlan Williams for all your social media, right?
Yeah, at Harlan Williams for Instagram, at Harlan Williams for Twitter.
Yeah.
And harlanwilliams.com is my website. And if you're into my podcast, it's The Harlan Highway.
Yeah, baby.
And we got to get you back.
I got to come back on
soon.
It's been a couple years.
Has it been that long?
It might
take the hint, bro.
I need a back to rub.
Yeah, get the mayonnaise out of the fridge if you're out of sunblock.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.